the consolation and the chizuk that comes with Shabbos Nachamu in this period of time that we're entering into now. And one of the questions I'd like to address is, what is Nechama in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's consoling the people of Israel? We're dealing with tragedies, we're dealing with tzaris, we're dealing with golus, with exile, we're dealing with the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash, that amongst the nations of the world, anti-Semitism is on the rise. We need a bit of a perspective, and that's an understatement, in appreciating what nechama, what consolation could mean in this context. So what I'd like to try is an experiment today, and you'll let me know if it works or it doesn't, you're the jury, of course, is to learn with you, study with you an essay by one of the Rabbanim who lives here in Yerushalayim and is alive and well today, Baruch Hashem. His name is Rav Pinchas Friedman, and he has a collection of essays which is called Shvilei Pinchas. I mean, the name Pinchas makes sense because that's his name. And what he does for us here in this essay is he weaves together and integrates many different midrashim, statements of Chazal, that you can almost say about each and every one of these midrashim that they are quite esoteric, they're quite confusing to us, ambiguous. And each medrash unto itself has to be interpreted, but to weave them together into one whole and come out with a bit of a picture of a vision of what consolation might be in this context, that's a great agenda, and it's a tough call. It requires a lot of work. And what I want to do is, as I go along, point out to you some of the highlights. You'll take this home if you like to go through it in its original. I would say that about myself, it would take me about 5 hours to go through the original. You're all greater scholars than I, so you could probably do it in 2 hours. But in any event, it's a lot of work. And we'll try to shorten that burden and help with some of the text. But again, I have to quote the text from time to time. It's just absolutely necessary. Now, what's unique about these midrashim is that, as you'll see, many of them are based on Shir HaShirim, which is, of course, an appropriate song for this period of time of Nechama, because it symbolically represents and conveys the unique relationship, if you will, a relationship of two lovers between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Dod, he's the beloved, in a sense, the groom, and we, Knesset Yisrael, are the kala, are the bride. And there's such moving psukim in Shir HaShirim about the Dod knocking on the door of the of its beloved, of the Knesset Yisrael in the simile. And we attribute, to some extent, human feelings, emotions, even actions to the Ribono Shel Olam, which of course is in itself is a problem. How can you talk about God and his love for the Jewish people as an emotional experience? What does it mean that God is knocking on the door of the Jewish people? And one of the main, one of the main focus of Chazal is on the pasuk Imo Anochi Vitzara, that God, in a sense, is identifying, he's empathizing with our pain. Sorry, I don't know, sometimes this thing jumps on me, I don't know, I didn't do anything to deserve it, but so if it's too loud, I could just put it on the side and forget about it. And what does it mean that God identifies with our suffering? I mean, how does that work? God is it's tire that God suffers with us. And that's really what Nechama is all about, because as you and I know, if somebody identifies with your suffering, that's 90% of consolation. In the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal speak about two hechalot. Let me try to explain what I mean. A hechal is an area in which God, so to speak, again, this is all, everything that I say, I'm I'm going to use the word kaviyachol once when I really have to repeat it 1,000 times in whatever time we have allotted for us. Kaviyachol means we're using human terms to describe God, which is impossible. But that's what we're going to have to do because that's the only way we can get a glimpse of the divinity, you know, by using terms that make sense to human beings. That's called Divra Torah Kaloshan B'nei Adam. The Torah speaks in a human language. Now, a heichal, in the case of a king, means that's his palace. In the case of God, we're going to find that there are two heichalos. There are two places where God, so to speak, resides. One is called Gavoy. Gavoy means the inner chambers of God. That's sort of like God unto himself. It's an Aramaic word, and it's spelled Gimel Vav Aleph Yud, Gavoy. Okay, we'll see where the basis for this is in the Tanakh. And then there's the outer chambers of God. This is something that is much more of God, not unto himself, but God as he relates to man, and it's specifically to the Jewish nation. And that's called Baroi, Bet Resh Aleph Yud, again, which means in Aramaic, the outer chambers. So we have the Gavoy on the inner chambers, and the Baroi on the outer chambers. And I emphasize this to you up front because we're gonna see these terms repeat themselves and surface time after time again. So it's good if at the beginning, you know, we get it down. Let's write it down. I mean, again, if I had a whiteboard, I'd write it on the board here. There's something called Bate, means the chambers of Gavoy, which means God, you know, in his inner chambers. There he's alone, so to speak. It's between him and himself. And then there's the Baroi. Those are the chambers of God as we perceive God in the divine interaction with the human race and specifically with the Jewish people. We're going to begin now with a statement in Chazal. It's in many places. It appears in the Medrash, it appears in what's called Tanit Ve'elio, and it's an attempt to understand a pasuk, or shall we say a series of verses in Shir HaShirim, which you'll see in the second paragraph for those who like to follow the text. Ani yesheinah v'libi er, kol dodi dofek, pischi li achosi rayasi onasi samasi. So the beloved is knocking on the door of Rayosi, Yonasi, Samasi, which are various words to describe the lovely bride, Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael. But we're going to emphasize the last few words in this verse, in which the Dod declares, quote, Sheroshi Nimla Tal, Kvotasai Resise Loila. Now, the word tal, of course, means dew, D-E-W. And the dew is on the head, on the rush of the dod, in this case. The dod is a simile for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kaviyachol, describes himself in this verse as if his head is wet with dew. Very strange. And the Medrash makes it even more ambiguous. The Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Knesset Yisrael, and he says, Banai, Achshav bom v'kiblu mimeni koshel tanchumin. Now, when you think about it, the people of Israel are receiving tanchumin, they're receiving consolation, words of solace from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But here, the Jewish people have suffered so much agony, that it's only natural for them to turn back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'omrim Yisrael l'fanav Ribbono Shel Olam, b'tchila ka'asta alai. What we've seen over the course of Jewish history is your anger, your wrath. Hotzeisanu mitoch beischa. You took us out of your house, meaning the Beis HaMikdash. Higleisani l'bein ha'goyim. You sent us into the exile amongst the nations of the world. V'achshav bas lefayas osanu. And now you're coming to pacify us, as if to say to recreate a a relationship that was broken. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to try to show how this paradox can be reconciled. And on the one hand, God has lashed out against the Jewish people with such anger, throwing them out of his Mikdash and exiling them amongst the nations. But on the other hand, he's coming to be Mephias them. And in doing so, God tries to explain this and resolve this paradox by giving a mashal. He says, Lamado de Doma, a man marries the daughter of his sister. You know, you're allowed to marry the daughter of your sister. It's considered in Chazal a special relationship between an uncle and an aunt that solidifies the marriage and the relationship. But pam achas kas aleha. So the husband gets angry at his wife. And he sends her out of the house. And then he comes later on to be Mephiasa, to recreate the relationship and pacify her. So she right away turns. And she says, you got angry at me. And you sent me packing. And now you want to come to be Mephias me? So you know what he says to his aunt, to his niece, he says, Shema Tomri, you might think, Belibech, in your heart, that Miyom She Yatzasi Mi Beisi, from the moment I left my house, Ani Nechnasti LeBeisi, I went in and out of my home, living without you. And he says, no, Ela Afanilo Nechnasti LeBeisi, during this entire period of separation, I didn't go to the house. I couldn't be alone in the house without you. And now we get to the Nimshal. Kach Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Bonai, miyom shechrafti es beisi shalmata. In the picture, the vision of this medrash, there's a base hamigdash down here on earth, and there's a corresponding migdash up in Shamayim. This has been a subject of a lot of Judaica art. You know, a lot of the artists, not far from here, up the block here, you'll see it in the galleries. You know, they have a reflected image of the migdash shalmata and the migdash shalmala. Says HaKadosh Baruch, Miyom Shechrafti is Beisi Shalmata Lo Alisi V'yashavti V'Beisi Shalmala. I did not enter into my Beis HaMikdash up in Shamayim. V'Omer HaKadosh Baruch Lehem LiYisrael, Im Ein Atem Ma'aminim Li, and if you don't trust me, if you think that I was, my abode was in the Beis HaMikdash, even in that relationship of separation, then Tnu Yedechem Al Roshi, put your hands on my head, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vitira, and you'll see who mole tal. It's full of dew. My head is wet with dew. And why is that? Because I'm exposed to the elements. I'm no longer in the, in the awning and the covering of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what Shir Hashirim Shlomo Melch says, Sheroshi Nimla Tal. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his consolation to Israel, he says, just like you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm not in the Beis HaMikdash. If you're in exile, I'm in exile. And I'll prove it to you. Because Roshi Nimla Tal, my head is full of dew. I haven't entered into the Beis HaMikdash. Now, obviously, all this is like defies human comprehension. I mean, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is endless. He doesn't have a physical body. What does it mean his head is full of dew? What is this dew and what it's all about? So again, as I said in the outset, I'm not going to repeat the word kaviyachol 50 million times, but you have to, because to talk about God's head and being wet with dew is obviously some sort of symbolic message. It cannot be taken literally. One of the 13 principles of our faith is God doesn't have a goof. He doesn't have a tzuras haguf. So what's it all about? Now, again, certain statements are in the Kabbalah or in the Zohar, and we might not feel so committed to interpret the Zohar. These are mystical concepts beyond our comprehension. But here we're talking about a Medrash or a Tanit Be'eliyahu. These are basic sources. These are not Kabbalistic works. So even if we don't understand the deeper meaning here in the mystical sense, we do have an obligation to try to understand this at least on our level. Fine. Now let's go on to another statement in Chazal. This is, again, a Medrash on Shir Hashirim, but this is in the Yalkut Shimoni. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that at the time of the ultimate redemption, he's going to bring about Tchiyas HaMesim. He's going to resurrect the dead. And how's he going to do so? With Tal, with dew. What does that mean? So it says in the Medrash, Piskili Pesach Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking on the door of his beloved, of the Kal of Knesset Yisrael, asking the beloved to open up the door b'tshuva, to try to recreate that relationship that once existed. And then, Roshi Nimlatal, b'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu asid lahach yoses ha-mesim, when God will resurrect the dead, who menayar kitzvosav v'atal yored v'ofer misgabel. God, so to speak, shakes his head, the dew from his head falls, and it falls onto something called Afar, Ayin Pei Resh, which again loosely translates as dirt or gravel. And there's an action here which is called Gibul. Gibul is what could be translated to English as kneading with a K. So what happens is, if you have Afar, you have some solid dirt, and you add a liquid substance, a wet, water to it, then you knead it together. Now, the word afar is very critical, because in Tanakh we learn that God created man from the afar. Afar min adama. And not only that, the pasuk tells us in Tanakh that man is min afar lukach v'yela afar tashuv, that man is going to become offer again. So man was created from offer, then he dies and he's buried. And once he's buried, he again goes back to his original state of offer. Now, I apologize if I'm not, always turning to this side. It's hard for me to move my head around this way and that way. So let's understand how God creates man. And you'll see this if you're following the text on the top left of the corner of page 1. V'eid yalem min ha'aretz. So the pasuk begins with a wetness that comes up from the ground, a certain mist, and then it describes man being creating from the afar. Rashi says that there's a connection between these two verses. The Eid Yaleh, that this mist of water that comes up from the ground is indicative of the way God went about creating man. He took man, and he made him out of afar, and he added the liquid substance, the mist, to the afar, and he was megabel, and he did a process of kneading. And as a result of this kneading, the dough, so to speak, is man. That becomes the gufa adam. And the pasuk says that mina ki afar atah vel afar tashuv, what's going to happen after death? Man is going to again revert back to his state of afar, and that's what happens after the body, if the body is buried. And the Medrash goes on to tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, he's going to shake his head, so to speak, of the tal, of the dew that's on his head, that's collected on his head, and that dew is going to fall into the, so to speak, the grave of every single individual who died. And there's going to be again a process of gibul, in which the offer of man is going to now receive the tal, the dew from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head, and that's going to bring man back to life again. Just like in the original creation, man was offer, but the addition of the liquid substance and the gibul, that made man into a body that would live. So too, the offer, which is now man, at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, is going to receive the tal of Shamayim, and that's going to effectuate a process of gibul, of kneading together, in which the body is going to come back to life again. So it's a recreation, it's a duplication of the original process of creation. Again, we have to understand, what is this tal? And to try to understand the reason why ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring about the Tchiyas HaMesim, the resurrection of the dead, with this tal, with this dew. So to understand that, we have to introduce another statement of Chazal. And again, we're weaving together many different statements. We started with the statement of Kiroshi Nimla Tal, that God testifies, or shall I say, there's a proof that God is not living in his Beis HaMikdash. He's outside under the elements, because his head is collecting tal. We understand that the tal is going to be the vehicle to recreate man at the time of Tchiyas HaMesim. And now we introduce the most important concept in consolation, in nechama, which is called B'mistorim Tivke Nafshi. So many people have asked the question, does God cry? Yeah, please. Right. And that's going to be ultimately what Nechama is all about, that what we think is bad is really good. But I don't want to let the cat out of the bag because I still want to build this up based on Chazal. What does the Pasuk tell us about God in terms of crying? Does God actually cry? I mean, that's a ridiculous statement. What do you mean God cries? God is infinite, you know. But again, kaviyachol. And the Pasuk tells us, and this is a pasuk at the end of Tanakh, that God actually cries. In fact, Yirmiyahu HaNavi himself already predates it and tells us, "B'mistarim tivke nafshi." God declares that in my hiding places, mistarim, I cry, my nefesh, my soul cries. Mipnei gava, gimel vav he. So we don't understand what the word gava means, and the least of all, and the least of what we understand is that God is crying. The Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Heyom and Beis, in the name of Rav Shmuel, offers the following answer. Number one, Makom Yesh Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu U'Mistarim Shmo. Do you remember we said at the outset that God has certain locations, Heichalos, you know, that's the palace of God. One of those palaces is called in Tanakh Mistarim. It's a hidden place, Miloshen Seter. And God says he cries in that hiding place, in that secret place. And why? Mipnei gava, gimel vav he. Amar Rav Shmuel, what is gava indicative of? Gava, if you add an aleph, becomes the pride of someone. And God is crying because of someone's pride. In this case, because of the loss of someone's pride. Who is that someone? And the Gemara offers two answers to that question, but they're really one and the same. According to Rav Shmuel's answer, Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak, it's the pride of the Jewish people that was taken away from them. They've been robbed of their pride over the course of the exile, and it's been given to the Goyim, to the idol worshippers. These are the nations who took over the pride of Klal Yisrael. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni says, Gavasa shel malchus shamayim. We're talking about God's kingship, and as a result of the exile, God's kingship, kaviyochu, was taken away, and therefore God is crying b'mistarim. Again, the crying of God is indicative of the Jewish people who go into Golus. Now, where is this mistarim? Where is this private place? So the Gemara asks that question in Chagiga. God is crying somewhere in a place called mistarim. Is that possible? There must be a location which somehow is beyond what we call simcha, beyond the joy of God. God is defined as pure joy. Anywhere where God is, that's where there's joy. Rav Papa formulates it in the following way, Ein atzivus, there's no etzev, there's no sadness, lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hod v'hadar lefanav, oz v'chedva b'mkomo. So the makom, the place, the location of God is completely saturated with oz and chedva. Chedva means joy on a very extreme level. So how can you tell me that there's a place which is not the makom of oz v'chedva, but rather there's a makom called mistarim, and there God is crying? And the Gemara has to reconcile this contradiction. Lokash ahabibati gavoi habibati baroi. Remember we said at the outset that gavoi means the inner chambers of God, and then there the bate baroi, the outer chambers of God. And where is God crying? If you turn to page 2, you'll see that Rabbeinu Chananel, who's one of the great super commentaries on the Shas, he tells us the following, that in the base gavoi, which means the inner chambers of God, leka b'chia, there's no crying. There it's oz v'hodr b'mkomo. It's pure chedva, oz v'chedva b'mkomo. Where is God crying? Where is this place called mistarim? That's in the bate b'roi. That's in the chambers, the heichal of Hashem on the outside. That's closer to man. So now we want to understand the following. With regard to the concept of etzev or bechia, sadness and crying, that's limited to the batei brai, to the outer chambers. Again, if I had a blackboard, I would make sure that we wrote the word brai here because we're going to use it over and over again. However, although b'mistarim tivke nafshi, God says I'm crying, that's only where? In the batei brai. But in the batei gavai, and this is what Rabbi Nachanal emphasizes, then it's oz v'chedva bimkomo. In the inner chambers of God, there's no such thing as sadness, despair, crying, anguish. All that is absolutely antithetical to the batei gavai, because in the batei gavai, in the inner chambers, it's chedva, it's pure joy. And once again, we have to ask the question, what is this all about? What does this mean? Okay, so he says the following. That when does God start crying in the batei brai, in these outer chambers? He says the following. After the Churban HaBayis, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, God is crying. Where is he crying? B'mistarin, in some secret place. Where is that secret place? It's in the batei brai. And he quotes here the Avodas Yisrael. Again, I don't have time to go through the history here. You'll have to invite me back to give you the history. Who is what? Who's who here? There's the Ner Yisrael, the Avodas Yisrael. In any event, in the Avodas Yisrael, he says that as a result of this episode in which God is crying because of the Churban HaBayis, we have to strengthen ourselves with simcha, with joy. Now, this is very paradoxical. God is crying and we have to reach the level of simcha. I mean, why don't we identify with God and we should be crying as well? So to try to understand that, we're going to introduce a breakthrough concept over here. And this breakthrough concept, which is first formulated by the Ner Yisrael on page number 2 in your handout on the right column on the bottom, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about all this punishment, all this tzara, all this galus, and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But nevertheless, b'choleis tzara v'tzuka ein lanu melech ela ata, which means that we have to understand that God, in his divine plan, has decided that this is the best for the Jewish people. Now that's a very tough, pill to swallow. But this principle, which is formulated here by the Ner Yisrael, that up in Shamayim, in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, there is pure simcha, because God understands that this is all for the benefit of the Jewish people. So what we think is certainly, bad, and it undermines our joy and our happiness, really ultimately is for the good. And he bases himself on an unbelievable Gemara in Masechta Pesach, which is in the middle column here of page 2. And the Gemara says that although in this world, when something terrible happens, we cannot recite Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, thank you God for good, because we don't see good in it. We can only say Baruch Dayan HaEmes, that God is the judge. But the Gemara says that L'Olam HaBa, at the end of days, when the redemption will take place, then everything that happens will be HaTov HaMeitiv. And what we're going to see here is that the perception here is the following. You remember that Rabbi Akiva was the one who coined the phrase Kol mandi ovid rachmana litav ovid. Even when things happened that looked so terrible, he would declare this is all for the good. Or for example, Nochum Ish Gamzu would always declare Gamzu litova. That requires a very high madriga, which most of us cannot achieve in this world. But in the ultimate perception, we will be able to declare Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv. There's no evil. Everything is part of a divine plan. It's all for our benefit. So what looks to us as ra, as evil, up in Shamayim, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perception, it's all good. We now live in a state of afela, in a state of darkness. All that tzaras look absolutely horrible and horrendous, but when the geula will happen, then we'll have a situation of Yotzi Osonu Me'afelo Li'ora. God will take us out of the darkness into the light. V'oz Yiskala Lanu, everything will clearly be understood. That Kol Atzaros She'avro Aleinu, all the calamities that we experienced, and we thought they were Tzaros Gedolos Mod, Hakol Hayu L'Tova L'Gedula, it's all for our greatness, it's all for our benefit. And that's why Oz V'Chedva B'Mkomo, that when we talk about the Batei Gavoi, which again, that's God in his inner chambers, which is the divine perspective that in some sense is beyond human comprehension, everything is good. It's the perception of Rabbi Akiva or Nachum Ish Gamzu of everything is Latav Ovid, that there's no Baruch Dayana Emes, it's all Baruch HaTova Meitiv, but that only exists now, presently, in the Batei Gavoi, in the inner chambers of God. However, we have a pasuk that we started with before, b'mistorim tivke nafshi, that God is crying. How do we reconcile that with the makom of Hashem as being oz v'chedva, that God sees everything in the divine perspective as being good, and there's simcha? And the answer is that b'mistorim tivke nafshi, b'mistorim is a reference to the batei b'roi, to the outer chambers. And in the outer chambers, God is b'mistarim tivke nafshi. He's mitztayer. He's in a kaviyoch, in a state of tsar. Why? Because of the golus of Klal Yisrael, all the tsaris of Klal Yisrael. And here's where God, in a sense, partners up with the nation of Israel. And we have Imo Anochi b'tsara. God is with us in the tsara. And at that point, in the Bati Barai, in the outer chambers, which relate to the connection between God and our people, it's been Mistarim Tivke Nafshi. And why is God crying? And the Pasuk says, Mipnei Gava, which means Gavasin Shel Yisrael, Shenitlem V'nitna Liovde Kochavim, for the glory of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, it's been robbed of that glory. It's been expelled from the Beis HaMikdash, sent into exile, and now we're in a situation in which nitla kvodam gavosin shel Yisrael. And on that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitztayer. And that's why one man the Yomer says that the word gava in this pasuk of a mistarim tivke nafshi is a reference to gava and covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So God now is identifying with the loss of covet in this world, loss of gava in this world. Which gava? Well, in truth, it's a double gava, and they're all the same. It's the gava of Yisrael that's been taken away and given to the nations of the world, and it's the gava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's called, in the language of Chazal, Mokom Yeshlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu U'mistarim Shmo. That place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is called Mistarim, is somewhere in the Batei Baroi, in the Hecholos HaChitzonim, the Hechol of Hashem, which is on the outside, which relates and, in a sense, reveals itself to the people of Israel. God is with us together in that tzara. He senses and he partners and he identifies. He, if you will, he commensurates with our tzaros. And I would say it's more than sympathy, it's empathy. And that's what's happening in the Batei Gavoi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'mistarim tivke nafshi. But why is that called Mistarim? After all, if the whole purpose, the whole entity or enterprise of Batei Baroi is that part of the divine being that relates to us, right, because that's the outside, then why do we talk about Mistarim? That this place in the Batei Gavoi where God is crying and identifying with our suffering, why is that called Mistarim? Why is that called the secret place? You know, if you talk about Batei Gavoi, the inner chambers, that for sure is Mistarim. That's way beyond our comprehension. We have no connection to that. But if you talk about the Batei Baroi, you know, that's the Heichal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's out here. Why is that called Mistarim? Why is that called the hidden part of the Batei Baroi? So now we're going to turn back to Chazal on the Sneh. We're now turning all the way back to the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Vayomer Hashem, God declares, Ra'o ra'isi es ani ami. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I have become aware of the terrible suffering of my nation. Now, are the Jewish people guilty of sin at this point? Well, in the future, and God knows the future, we will be guilty of sin. I mean, sin to the extent of chet meraglim, chet ha'egel. I mean, these are very serious violations. But God says, now ro'o ra'isias oni ami. The Jewish people are now pure. They're innocent. They're not guilty of any sin. Eini don es ha'adam. The Medrash says on this pasuk, I'm not going to judge the people of Israel el b'shaito. I'm not going to look towards the future. Eov says, Vayar oven v'lo yizbona, and God saw in front of his eyes, oven means serious violations, but v'lo yizbona, he didn't pay any attention to it. Why? Because k'shahayu b'mitzrayim, when the Jewish people are in Mitzrayim, Ra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saw the oven, he saw the sin down the line, mashasidim lasos, and yet, Vayomer Hashem ra'o ra'isi, right now I see the suffering of the Jewish people. What I see now is the goodness of the Jewish people. I know that they're going to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. I also know of their sins of Maisa Egel, but nevertheless, God says, "Eini don es ha'adam el v'shaito v'yar oven v'lo his bonein," and God is not going to bring about punishment to the Jewish people because they haven't yet sinned. And even though I see their sin in front of my eyes, but nevertheless, I'm not going to judge them based on their future actions. I'm going to look at where they are now. Hashta is the Aramaic word for now. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to overlook sin for the sake of Klal Yisrael, because he's going to judge them as they are now. Vayar oven v'lo isbonen. And he's not going to focus on what he knows. And therefore, he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to be the Redeemer of Israel, and the people of Israel are going to receive the Torah, because we're not going to judge them based on what's going to happen down the line, even though we see that sin in front of our eyes. We're aware of it. But for the ultimate good of Klal Yisrael, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, God says, I'm going to look the other way. And if we apply this logic to the crying of HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'makom mistarim, God is sad about the sadness and the tzara of Klal Yisrael Negolos. Now you'll ask me, is that a chiddush? And the answer is, it's a great chiddush. It's something that's not intuitive, because God in the Bati Gavai understands that all the suffering of the Jewish people is for their good. It's Gamzu L'tova. So in the ultimate truth, in the perspective of Emes, God knows that this is all good. So why is he crying? Why is he identifying with the Tzara of Klal Yisrael? And the answer is that by identifying with the Tzara of Klal Yisrael, God does something great for the sake of Klal Yisrael. So if you follow the point over here, there's an absolute parallel between two concepts. One concept is that God knows the Jewish people are going to, in the future down the line, are going to sin. But yet God, for the sake of Israel, is going to ignore that fact. He's going to judge them as they are today, and he's going to redeem them from Egypt and give them the Torah, etc., etc. Why? Because God somehow overlooks a certain realization that he himself has for the sake of Klal Yisrael. The same thing is going to apply here, b'mistarim tivke nafshi. Why is God crying? God knows from this perspective of truth that everything that, all the episodes and all the catastrophes that are befalling the people of Israel, it's all in the divine plan, gamzu l'tova, kol ma'adi ovid rachmona l'tavov, it's for the good of the people. And that's why God, in the bate gavoi, which means the ultimate God unto himself, his perspective, everything is good. But God has a different perspective. He's going to put that realization away. You know, he's going to put it in the back burners. And for the sake of Klal Yisrael, he's going to see the tzaras of Klal Yisrael. Ra'o ra'isi b'yoni ami. I identify with the suffering of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, b'mivstarim tivke nafshi, I will cry together with Klal Yisrael. That's the greatest nechama that we can have. The consolation is because God is saying, I also identify with Klal Yisrael. If I exiled from the people from Israel, I'm in exile. If I had to ask the Jewish people to leave the Beis HaMikdash, I'm also outside of the Beis HaMikdash. I'm exposed, so to speak, to the elements. Why? Because of this principle of mistarim tivke nafshi, that God has a makom, makom yeshlo lakadosh baruch hu mistarim shmo. Now, why is it called mistarim? It's called mistarim because it's really hidden in a sense that God is hiding himself. God is hiding himself from the batei gavoi. God is ignoring what he knows to be absolutely for the good of the people. He is looking at the moment, and he's seeing, and he's identifying with the suffering of Klal Yisrael, even though ultimately that suffering is for their benefit. And what we have here is an unbelievable concept called that Hashem wants to be mitztayer b'tzarasim shel Yisrael. He wants to identify and partner up with their suffering. And that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pack out of his Beis HaMikdash. He also is going to go into Golos. But why? Why is God, so to speak, suffering? After all, God knows from the perspective of the Bati Gavoi, the truth, that this suffering is all good. And the answer is, because there's something called the Bati Baroi. There's something called the Beis HaStarim, where God goes into, so to speak, hiding. He leaves his area of awareness, of realization that everything is for the benefit of the Jewish people. And instead, he leaves the Beis HaMikdash and he cries b'mistarim. That's the location where God is completely, totally identified with the Tsar of Klal Yisrael. Not the Tsar as a means to an end. Not the Tsar that will ultimately be understood to be for the good, but the Tsar of this moment, the anguish of the Jewish people. He is with us, and he is going to exile himself. He's going to leave the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to be Baroshi Nimla Tal. What is the symbolism of Tal? So if you open up, if you happen to have it, if not, just listen to Torah Sheval Peh. It's on page 3, on the third column, and the third paragraph on the page. What is the symbolism of Tal, of the dew? Over and over again throughout Tanakh, the word Tal has a double meaning. It means the dew that softens the ground and prepares it for great things. It's agriculturally extremely important, but Tal has another meaning as well. Tal represents the tears of Israel. And that's why the Torah always identifies Tal with Laila, with nighttime. Tal shel Laila, hu remez al dmos Yisrael, becheshkas al Laila shel Golos. The Tal of the nighttime, which will only be, you know, we'll only see it in the morning, but it gathers together at night. That Tal is a symbolic reference to the crying of Israel through the bitter night of Golos. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Roshi Nimla Tal, my head is full of Tal, what he's declaring is, I am mitztayer together with the people of Israel. I suffer with them. I identify and empathize with their suffering in a batei brai, there's a place of bechia. There's a place that's antithetical to Oz v'chedva v'mkoma. The Oz v'chedva v'mkoma is the ultimate perspective in the Batei Gavai. There is only Simcha. But where is their Tal? Where is their Tal of the Dmos, representing the crying of Israel on Golos? That's in the Batei Brai. And where in the Batei Brai? Even in the Batei Brai, God is aware of the fact that everything is really good. It's all for the benefit of the Jewish people. Name. There's a place in the Batei Brai which is called Mistarim. And in that place, God identifies with the tzoros and the tal of Laila, of the cheshkes ha-Laila of Golos Yisrael in and of itself as their suffering. And now we could perhaps shed a light on the fact that God's tal is going to effectuate tchias ha-mesim. Because tchias ha-mesim is a reversal of the process of tzar. When we bury the dead, it's bitzar. What looks to our eyes when we bury the dead is catastrophe. Is the ultimate catastrophe of death. Man is destined to face death. And the answer to that death is that God identifies with the tzara, with the anguish of death. And God prepares, so to speak, an identification, a solace with the Avelim. Hamakom Yenachem Eschem, God himself will be Menachem thus from the terrible tragedy, the mourning of death, because God has Tal. And that Tal is God's identification with our suffering throughout the Golus. That Tal represents a reversal of the process of Avelus, because God, if he identifies and commensurates with our Avelus, then he will use that Tal to bring about Tchias HaMesim, to bring about the resurrection of the dead. Now, I know we're running out of time, but on page 4, I'll just summarize a few points for those who want to read this on their own. Again, we run out of time to finish it, but we'll get at least a taste of it. We said that this world is a world that we perceive as Dayan, as God is the judge. It looks like we're suffering. On the face of it, on our level, it doesn't look to be good. It looks to be very bad. But in the Olam Abba, in the next world, at the time of the ultimate redemption, everything will retroactively be clear, crystal clear, that it was all for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Now, there are two names of God. One is Havaya, that's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and the other is Ado with a noy at the end. Chazal tell us in various midrashim that the name Havaya is God unto himself. The key letter in the word Havaya, in the name Havaya, is the Yud. The Yud, which is totally spiritual, it really doesn't take up any space, is representative of Olam Haba. And that means the perspective of God in the Batei Gavoy, in and of himself. On the other hand, Adnus, which we don't read Yud-Kei Vav-Kei as anything other than Adnus, means that right now we don't see the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. It's totally hidden from our sight. We're in Golus and we see the Golus is something that's antithetical to Oz v'chedva b'mkomo, to the real Havaya. So we don't have the ability to recite God's name as Havaya because we live in this world, Olam Hazeh. But lo ka Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. The Olam Hazeh, the Gemara tells us in Psachim, is the Adnus that we recite. Olam Haba is the actual name of God as the Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Yud representing Olam Haba means that perspective of God in the Batei Gavoy, the ultimate perspective of Hatov HaMeitiv. But now we go through Tzoros, and now we don't have the ability to recite the name Havaya. From the time of the Churban Habayis and on, from the moment of exile, the Jewish people live in a different kind of a name of God. It's not the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the ultimate name of God. That belongs to a perception of Batei Gavoy. But rather we live in the world of Adnus. We cannot pronounce God's name. We live in the world in which everything that befalls us, all the tzaras and all the goals, seems on the surface to be evil, and to be ra, to be terrible. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that as long as we're in this world, Olam Hazeh, we're not ready for the revelation of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, of Olam Haba, we're not ready for the Batei Gavoy, we're in the Batei Bavoy in the outside world, and that is the world which God relates to us, and he empathizes with us. It's the world of Adnus, it's the world of B'mistarim Tivkei Nafshi. And this, if this be the case, then we begin to understand the great Nechama that we began with. Let's go back to the first statement, and with this we'll end it. The original statement that we started with was a statement of Shir HaShirim, which is the greatest expression of the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Dod, and the Raya of Knesset Yisrael. And God is knocking on the door, and he's telling Klal Yisrael, Kol dodi dofek, I am knocking on the door. Roshi nimlatal kvutz Osiris yisei loyla. What's happening, says God, is just like I sent you out of the Beis HaMikdash. I myself exiled myself from the Beis HaMikdash because imo anochi b'tzara, because b'mistarim tivke nafshi. And that is represented by the tal, the dew on HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel's head. That tal is the demos of Klal Yisrael throughout the bitter Golus, and God says, I identify with you, Tzoros. And that's in the Bati Baroi. And therefore, Kiblu Mimeni Koshel Tanchumen, God begs us, he beseeches us to receive that kos of Tanchumen, of comfort, of solace. And that solace is made up of two parts. Number one, the fact that God identifies with our tzara, and misery loves company. If God identifies with the tzara, if he is living in the state, in the Bati Baroi of a Mistarim Tivka Nafshi, and God is crying, that's a tremendous nechama for us. Because we're not going at it alone. It's not a lonely experience where the raya has been sent packing and she lives on her own. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also longing and panging for the day in which the raya and the dod can get together and reestablish that relationship. But the kos shel tanchumen has another element to it. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares Roshi Nimla Tal, what he's telling us is that Tal will be the Tal of Tchiyas HaMesim. What he's telling us is that there'll be a Yudke Vavke of Olam Haba, a perspective of the Bate Gavoy, of the inner chambers of God, in which ultimately with the redemption, we will be able to perceive, as Rabbi Akiva and Nochem Ish Gamzu perceived in this world, that everything is for our benefit, that even the terrible tsaras that we see, both on a national, communal level, and on an individual level, it's all part of a divine plan. And it's all meant for our benefit and for our good. That's the greatness of the ultimate geula. In the meantime, we have the Batei Baroi, we have God b'mistarim tivka nafshi, he's identifying and commensurating with our tzaras as we exist, as we experience them now. But on the other hand, the greatest nechama is going to be that we understand that things are going to change, and with the ultimate revelation, will be able to perceive and understand and appreciate that everything is all part of a divine plan for our benefit, for our good. Yehi ratzon, may it be his will. That with this solace and with this commensuration of God with our tzaras, with his nechama and consolation, we can be besimcha, we can achieve the simcha, which reaches its apex in just a few days' time on the 15th of the month of Adar. And that's the simcha that we mentioned in the name of the Avodas Yisrael. We're required to experience that simcha. On the one hand, we surely identify with the crying of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That goes without saying. But this is a period of time of simcha as we accept the nechama of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only the identification of God with that tzaras, but the fact that God will bring about an understanding and appreciation that all these tzaras are really good. They're all for our benefit. They're all part of a wonderful divine plan of chesed. That's impossible for us to understand now, but we have to have one part of our heart, b'mistarim, that appreciates that ultimately everything, kol ma'idi ovid rachmana l'tav, it will all be crystal clear with the ultimate geula. Everything was done for our benefit. We should be zocha b'karov to that moment of geula shlema. Amen.